Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Her own life experience of substance abuse, a debilitating car accident, child abuse, loss of her own child, cancer at 18, and again at 48, all became catalysts for Kate to help others beat down the doors of defeat and focus on creating a truly amazing life. With the help of some dynamic individuals who've also overcome life's challenges and truly came out stronger, Kate promises to bring listeners an inspiring hour of power filled with humor and insight. Join Kate and her weekly guest as they share their secrets, what almost brought them down, and the inspiring techniques we all need to make our lives epic and spread the juiciness of hope. Now, here's your host, Kate Hennessy.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Get Focused Radio. What a great show we have today. Today we're doing our very own investigation of character actor Robert David Hall. Now, he plays quirky coroner Dr. Albert Robbins on the Emmy-nominated CSI Crime Scene Investigation. This CBS show is also syndicated internationally and is seen weekly by more than 27 million people in America alone. What you may not know about Robert is that he is one of the most prominent disabled actors working today. I don't like to use that word because he is obviously very able at everything that he does. He has an amazing, inspiring story, and you won't want to miss it. So stay with us for the next hour. And if you'd like to call in, call 1-800-930-2819. Again, 1-800-930-2819. Without further ado, welcome Robert to the show.
Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. We had a little Skype deficiency going on here, so I'm not sure what happened, but it's Canada, it's cold, and probably the lines are down. Par for the course here. And how are you? Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Los Angeles. I live up in the hills in Sherman Oaks.
Is it nice and warm?
It's a little chilly for Southern California, but I grew up in the cold weather of upstate New York, so Californians complain way too much about cold weather.
Well, you were born in New Jersey.
Yes.
So, as I just said, I hate using that word disabled. Is that okay? I mean, you are so able. So amazing what you do.
You know, after all these years, I'm sort of with you. I don't like the word disabled because it connotates, you know, inability to do things. And one of the things I've tried to do is, you know, live up to whatever potential I might have, which, you know, I don't think about disability per se all the time. You know, it's a word that sometimes is an anchor.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about it, I want to talk about what we're, you know, the accident that happened in 1978. But take us back to, you were born in New Jersey. Let's start there. Were you an only child? What was your life?
No, I'm the eldest of five kids.
Wow.
My father was a decorated Navy officer in World War II. He went to Caltech, the great science college out in California, served in the Navy in World War II, and then he went to Rutgers Law School. I'm from a Navy family. My grandfather and three of my uncles were Navy officers. And I have a lot of connection to Annapolis, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad moved a lot, and my mom, of course, went along for the ride. And I think I went to 10 different schools in 12 years. So although I was born in New Jersey, I lived in New York City. I lived in outside of Binghamton, New York. Mm-hmm. I lived in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, and finally high school in California. And ended up going to UCLA, and this was
a lot of traveling.
Travel doesn't bother me, and I'm sort of a child of the '60s. I went to UCLA in the late '60s, early '70s.
Now, tell me a little bit about, were you a relatively young man when the accident happened?
I was 30 years old. Yeah,
30 years old. Prior to that, what were you doing? What was your career at that time? I know, were you a DJ prior to the accident?
I was working in radio. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a shotgun career. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to be when I grew up. And all of my friends, you know, at 30, you're supposed to have figured something out, and I really hadn't. I worked in morning radio in Orange County, California, and then I wrote ad copy, and then I took acting lessons, and then I played guitar in a band at night. So I had four or five jobs every day.
You'd left university with a degree in English literature. So
right.
had you had some sort of propensity to, did you want to write or produce films?
I thought what I wanted to do was play center field for the Yankees, but I wasn't much of an athlete. So I thought an English degree would lead somewhere. I took, I got admitted to law school, but I didn't go. Really, what I loved doing was performing, music especially, and I had taken some acting classes, but I had never had a particular idea in my head that I was going to be an actor as a career. You know, it just, you have to remember the times back then, too. It was a lot of us were, I think, took a while to grow up, if that makes any sense.
Well, it was the hippie era, was it not? It was the kind of cool, a little bit more laid back. You know, everybody went to university for years.
People were, you know, the war was going on in Vietnam, and I think I probably spent an extra year in college. And because I'm from a military family, I have great respect for, you know, people who serve their country. And I had three or four physicals, but my vision is pretty poor, so I wasn't drafted. So, I thought I would go on to graduate school, but I just didn't. I had the desire to perform, so I joined a number of bands and traveled a great deal in my early 20s, playing music and trying to figure out what I wanted to do.
And when did you start to, I know the acting bug was always kind of there, but you were basically performing. When did that really kick in?
Well, I think because I moved so much as a child, the constants in my life were music, television, books, movies. And my brother Richard and I used to go to movies every weekend. We'd do our chores, make a few cents, and then we'd go see a couple of movies on a Saturday. And I, from a young age, I was always fascinated by storytelling, and I wanted to be one of those people.
That did it. Did you have a favorite actor back then or actress? Who really inspired you back then?
Well, you have to remember, you know, like a little middle-class white boy, you love Davy Crockett and monster movies, and I remember 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I loved James Mason as the captain of the Nautilus on 20,000 Leagues. But it was fantasy land back then. Mm-hmm. But as I grew older, you act in a school play and it really does bite you. I think most actors know pretty early that they enjoy doing it. You know, I was from a very straight-laced family. My dad was a scientist and an attorney, and my mom was from a Washington, D.C. family, and all of my relatives were Navy officers. So I was sort of looked at, especially when I got older, they weren't quite sure I knew what I was doing, and while my other cousins were becoming, straight very successful people. They're wonderful folks, and I love my family.
Yeah.
But I sort of marched to a different drummer.
Well, they're probably waiting for you to kind of get it out of your system.
Well, no.
Are they still waiting?
No, they're
no,
still
they're
wonderful.
Good now?
Yeah, they call me up, and they ask if I could donate something to their kid's school, you know, auction or something, and I'm happy to do it. It's, When you live on the East Coast and you move to California, everybody thinks, you know, they have a strange idea of what California is like. And I love the East Coast. I miss the four seasons and some of my radio friends live in Maine now, and I get a chance to go to visit them every 2 or 3 years. And I love what I do, and I think that's the key to, you know, to moving forward. And I'm sure we'll get into that as the hour goes on. But
absolutely. So you still stay in touch because you were a high profile radio DJ in LA. I mean, you were well known.
Yeah, I worked for a CBS alternative rock station called KNX FM, and I had the good fortune to be there pretty much at the height of the station's popularity.
Yeah.
And it was right after my accident, so I was on cloud nine. You know, it was amazing to be alive, and it was even more amazing to have survived what I survived and then be in the middle of a great thing. I really love radio, and I love the power to communicate that radio has. You know, it always has and always will.
Yeah. Well, you have also what we would say, you have a great radio voice.
Oh.
And I want to come back to that. I want to come back to talk about 1978 when this accident happened, and we're going to get into that. We're going to go away to our first break because we have to pacify the sponsors. You know that.
Got to pay the bills.
So, they've got to pay the bills and buy me a pair of shoes. So you're listening to Get Focused Radio. Very special guest, Robert David Hall. Please stay with us. We will be back shortly. Thank you.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. I preached about education, but he never took my advice. He said there are things they don't teach you in school. So many things they don't teach you in school.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
The call for activation has been sounded. Will you step up to answer? I'm Vila Lucas, and I'm here to empower you to break through to the greater you. Using ancient mystery school technology adapted to our modern times, I will guide you to the next level of your greatness. The time is now. Let me, Vila Lucas, be your breakthrough connection. Connect with me today, thebreakthroughconnection.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. I preached about education, but he never took my
advice. Welcome back. We are here with my special guest, Robert David Hall. And you were just listening to Robert's band and his latest CD, Things They Don't Teach You in School. We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
So many things that you do. I want to go back, though, Robert. I want to talk about here you are before you were the DJ. You know, you come out of university. You've got a degree in English literature. You're kind of doing your own thing.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, in 1978... What just changed your life?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you the short version because it's everybody has a story. Mine, on a very hot July day in 1978, I was working at a local radio station in Orange County near Disneyland, and I was going to sell my car that day. So I got up at 4, went and did my show from about 5 to 9, and then I waxed and polished up my Volkswagen, and I had it sold. It's funny how you remember the details. Some guy was going to pay me $1,200, and I was on my way to buy my first new car, and I was very excited.
Yeah. And how old were you at this time?
I was 30 years old.
Okay.
And I was driving north on the 405 San Diego Freeway, which is a pretty big freeway in Southern California, and going the speed limit, being very careful to get my prized car to its buyer. And at that exact moment, as I learned later, a 18-wheel truck driven by a man who was—it was his first day in Southern California—and he'd had a six-pack for lunch and lost control of the truck and came through the middle of the median. At that time, they were doing repair work, and so it was only a chain link fence. And he ran right over my Volkswagen, and I was trapped underneath this giant 18-wheel truck. I survived the crash, obviously, and 10 minutes later, my gas tank exploded, and I was trapped in a fire. And I'm very fortunate on a lot of levels that paramedics got to the scene quickly, and they rushed me to the local trauma center, where I'm told it was touch and go for 3 days.
Yeah.
I was, obviously in shock by this time, and they amputated my right leg above the knee, and over the course of that summer in 1978, they amputated my left leg in stages, toes, then foot, then ankle, then further up, and I ended up with an amputation just below the left knee and somewhat above the right knee. And the short story is over, I had many, many more, burn graft surgeries and amputation revisions. So I had a pretty rough year and a half, but I pulled through it. I had great doctors and nurses, and I like to think that my stoic, tough old man, his spirit is sort of in me, too, because I managed to pull through it. And I look back on that time. I know it was me, but it there's nothing like time and distance to help you to get through things. I've met a lot of people who've had surgeries and amputations and things in my life, and it's a fraternity and sorority, if you know what I mean.
And some people don't, you at 30 years old, young man, really just getting the wind beneath your feet there,
yeah.
Literally.
Literally, that's right.
Yeah, literally. Physically, you're getting through this. But mentally, that's the challenge. And I'm sure that obviously you know that in meeting other people that had the same thing or similar happen. Did you think at the time mentally that you were going to be back again, that young, handsome guy, cool guy on stage with your guitar and doing your thing? And did you think that you were still going to be able to be that person?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of time to think about this. And you know, hindsight is 20/20. But at the time, I was fortunate. I was not despondent, but I was not clear. I was not focused on where I was going. I wanted to get back into radio, and they held my job open for me. And as soon as I was able, about 7 months after the accident, I didn't have prosthetic limbs yet. So the radio station I worked at was about 3 blocks from the hospital I was at. So I wheeled my wheelchair back over to the radio station, and they had me, you know, I did a morning radio show. And the beautiful thing about radio is, you know, people can't see you. They get a feeling. And I was able to somehow do that, and that gave me a lot of strength, knowing that I could, you know, get back into the thing. I was burning with desire to get back to the real world. All those months, you know, I had low points, obviously. I didn't know where it was going. The radio saved my life in a way. It was so great to be back on the air, and somebody heard me that next spring from Los Angeles, and they didn't know anything about my story. And it was the CBS FM place, and they asked me to come up and audition for a job in Los Angeles. And I didn't tell them about my situation. So I wheeled into the CBS building on Sunset Boulevard, and their jaws dropped. They had no idea. They'd never had a person with a so-called disability working there. And, you know, the bathrooms weren't accessible, and it was a very strange thing. But my audition went really well, I think because I had I'd been through so much. It didn't frighten me. I said, I'm going to go have a good time, and whatever happens, happens. And
now, was this for another DJ job, or was this for a... Yeah.
Okay. It was to be the music director. Originally, it was to be the a news anchor. Mm-hmm. They liked my voice. But when I met the program director, and he found out about my musical ties, and I had some pretty good musical knowledge, suddenly they offered me a job that paid a great deal more. And to be the morning voice and the music director, and that's really what changed. You know, I don't want to say it changed my life. So many things have changed my life, but the chance to work at a really high level, wonderful radio gig in Los Angeles infused me with a lot of strength and power. And the station did very well the first 3 years I was there. And during that time, too, I had thought about acting, but all of my friends, my well-meaning friends and other people said, look, it's great that you have the radio job. You can't be an actor. Nobody will want to hire a guy who walks on artificial legs.
Right, because at this point now you'd been fitted with the prosthetics.
Yeah, and I was learning to walk, and it's difficult, but it's not impossible, you know. And I'm Welsh and Irish. Mm-hmm. Oh, Hennessy.
There's a combo. Nothing will hold us down too long.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's some truth to that. And though my family was not showbiz-oriented, I credit whatever, quote-unquote, strength I might have to some of that family thing, and also to people telling me I couldn't do it. When somebody says no to me, I tend to bristle, and so the thought of becoming an actor entered my mind because people said I couldn't do it. And I had the really good fortune, while I was working in radio, I found an acting teacher, a man named Gordon Hunt, who's the father of Helen Hunt, the wonderful actress, Oscar-winning actress we all know.
I didn't know Gordon Hunt was an acting teacher.
Gordon is a wonderful, wonderful man and a great teacher. And Gordon didn't care about, you know, my disability. He asked us to work hard, and I studied with Gordon for 10 years and learned a great deal. I mean, I had some abilities, but there's all kinds of people with some ability. You have to try to take it to whatever level you can take it to. So I joined Gordon's acting class. I joined a classical theater company doing really small roles at first, all the while, you know, keeping my radio job. And I did voiceover work, too, which helped pay the bills and pay the cost of acting class. And, you know, sometimes when you're busy, you don't have time to dwell on the pains and the things you're missing. So I was fortunate. I was always so busy and so passionate about what I was doing.
Well,
I don't want to paint a fake picture. You know,
of course, there's low times in this. I mean, you know, you're not a saint, even though you're part Irish.
Believe me, I'm not a saint.
Robert, I have to take our next break, but I want to come back. What I want to talk about after the break is your first audition. If you can take us back to that.
Absolutely.
And what that was like and the role that you got. So,
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about that when we come back. Everyone, stay tuned. Special guest, Robert David Hall. We'll be right back.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. I preached about education, but he never took my advice. He said, there are things they don't teach you in school. So many things they don't teach you in school.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. I preached about education.
We are back with my guest, Robert David Hall. And did you love that music? I do. Bluegrass doesn't get any better than that. Make sure you visit the website, robertdavidhallmusic.com. And
Thank you, Kate.
Can, love that CD. Fantastic. And that's actually you live playing. So that's a real treat.
Yeah, that was from the Craig Fergus show.
On Fergus show. Love him. He's hilarious.
Yes.
Tell us about the first audition, because I know that you had your lows, you had your highs, and you're very, very confident for the most part.
I might be now, but way back in, I think my first acting audition might have been 1979, like a year after my accident.
Okay. And what was it for?
Well, it was for some sitcom, and you have to remember that at that time, Hollywood was not real comfortable with actors that had disabilities. Mm-hmm. And so, it was the beginning of sort of an awakening about the people with disabilities are people first, and that we had abilities. So I was part of this huge audition. There were about 200 people with all kinds of disabilities. And they didn't know what they wanted exactly. You know, they just wanted some character with a disability to do a small role in some Warner Brothers sitcom.
Okay.
And it was like a Fellini movie. It was so strange. I was at this audition, people with walkers, people missing limbs, blind people, deaf people. You know, everybody wants to be in show business. And
mm-hmm.
somehow, I was one of the five people that got called back. Now, looking back on it, I don't think my skills were nearly what they needed to be, but it was exhilarating to get called back, and that's what prompted me to actually join a theater company and study with Gordon Hunt. Was I realized that if I was going to be serious about this, I had to improve my abilities.
Did you find that once they knew, you know, you'd send the headshots and all of this, were you only getting calls to do auditions for a disabled person?
Exactly. The only roles that I was ever asked to audition for, probably in the first 6 or 7 years of my career, mm-hmm. were the Vietnam vet, the angry disability advocate, the pitiable accident victim, you know, those kinds of roles.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't make me happy. You know, there weren't many auditions, and B, the quality of the roles were very stereotypical. You know, what people imagined somebody with a disability was like. And I knew from, you know, I had had a son after I was injured. I was married. I was making a very good living on radio and in voiceovers, and I really hated those stupid stereotypes that people have, and I've since worked for many years to try to change those stereotypes. But at the time, that was the reality that we were dealing with. And
that's
eventually,
right.
As I got a little bit older, grew a beard, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "Hey, he'd be a good judge." So I got a chance to play a judge on a couple of TV shows. And once you get a chance to do something that's outside of the label, then people said, "Oh, this guy might actually be a decent actor." But
he's
I stuck with it.
Acting stops at last, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, "Oh, he's got he's got some skills, he's got some chops, and I was pretty tenacious. And there was a group of us who were actors with disabilities who realized, whether we liked it or not, we were kind of pioneers for people coming up behind us. Mm-hmm. So it's not just me; it's a number of other folks. But we would get little roles in this show or that show, and three or four of us have managed to, you know, to persevere. And I did movies, feature length films. I did a lot of TV in the 80s and 90s. And
you did a movie, Class Action, with Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that was a
Lawrence
life-changing,
right?
Life-changing experience for me.
Was it? Because that movie was really that was very real life for you, wasn't it?
Well, I'll tell you why. I mentioned that I worked in Los Angeles radio. Our newsman at LA Radio wanted to be a screenwriter, and he and his wife wrote a beautiful film called Class Action. And they wrote a character that was based on me. Now, I had to audition to play myself, and I just barely got the role. So Gene Hackman and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio and Lawrence Fishburne, who I would work with later on CSI, were the stars of the movie. And I went up to San Francisco for 6 weeks, and I learned more in 6 weeks acting with those great people than maybe 4 years of acting school. You know, it's just a tremendous experience, and the movie did well, and I got some nice reviews, and it helped me get an agent and things like that. But Gene Hackman is a, you know, I wish everybody could have a chance to act across from him. He and Lawrence are two of the best actors in America.
Amazing movie. I did get a chance to see it the other night, and it was just amazing. If anyone has a chance to go and see it, and it certainly does depict your life and the struggles that you went through. And
sort of a fictionalized version of it, but it was close to home at the time, I'll tell you.
Now, tell me a little bit about, getting on CSI, because here's something that I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know your background and story. You've been one of my favorite actors. It's one of my favorite shows. But I do know that at some point, and I didn't see it, that you did the character Robbins let the audience know about the prosthetics. How did that come up? Is that something you wanted to do? Because I just thought, honest with you, I thought you had a limp when I watched the show sometimes.
You know the thing I love? It's like a family. You know, we just got renewed for a 14th year, so I can't think of many times in my life that I've done something for 14 years in a row. But the character of Robbins, the thing I loved about it was they never talked about his disability. And every other show that I've been in, they want to make a big deal about it. They want to say, oh, isn't he amazing? He walks on artificial legs. Or they want to say, isn't that sad? He's walking on artificial legs. CSI, I'm just part of the team that solves a crime. Dr. Robbins' job is to perform autopsies, find the bullet, explain what killed the poor crime victim, and then the team goes out and solves it. And I love the fact that they didn't talk about it. So one day in the third or fourth season, they came up to me and said, would you mind if we talked about, if we showed your disability? And I said, I don't care one way or the other. That's great. So Billy Peterson, who played Grissom, comes up, and they did it in a pretty subtle way. And I think I had to, I remember what it was. It was an episode where Billy and I were wearing hazmat suits, and there were fiery red ants on the corpse. And so I had to adjust my prosthetic legs to get into this hazmat suit. And Billy looks at it, and he doesn't say anything. He just he comments with his eyes, and that got so much response from the audience, because most people like you thought I had a limp or might have had polio when I was young or something. But it's really great. I'm not ashamed of my disability. I'm proud of my accomplishments, but it's just how I get along. You know, some people use wheelchairs to get from point A to point B. Some people use prosthetics. You know, in terms of the word disability, and you alluded to it earlier, Kate, I think the biggest disability a person could have is attitude and something between their ears. The physical things, while real, aren't what stop us in life.
Absolutely. I think, too, Robert, that, you know, the only disability that anyone has is really those of us out there that are uncomfortable with someone who has the ability to do everything that you can. And that is you know, a person's own disability to feel comfortable around someone that has something that's happened. You know, yours is physical. You know, there are mental, you know, disabled yeah. people too, and it's an uncomfortable feeling. Although I think that has changed, thank heavens, with the awareness and also too things like you do, because you are a real activist. You're a public speaker. You know, you're with the Youth Leadership Forum for students with, I still think it should be called with abilities, not disabilities.
I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, I think we should change that.
You know, you said a lot, and I know you've experienced a lot of things in your life as well, but on a simple level, the platform of being an actor on a internationally successful show has given me a platform to go around and speak on disability issues. I had the honor of introducing the president at a White House event a couple years ago, and you know, I've been able to play music at the Grand Ole Opry. The things that really tickle me the most are the chance to go and speak to people with disabilities. And especially kids. I had a chance a few years ago to go to Toronto, and they asked me to go read stories to kids at the Sick Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And all the adults knew the TV show I'm on, and they were all, oh, it's the doctor from CSI. The kids could have cared less. Mm-hmm. They just loved the fact that this crazy old guy with a beard was going to read them stories. And that made me so happy. You know, it really gives some meaning to what you've been through.
Absolutely. And we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, I really want to talk about your music. I want to talk about where that's going and how exciting that we're going into the 14th. Is it the 14th season?
14th
oh, wow.
Season.
Yeah. Cannot believe that. So looking forward to all of that. Great, great people on that show. We've got a little bit of time left. We're going to come back after this next commercial, and we will be back shortly. Stay with us. Robert David Hall coming back at you.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. I preached about education, but he never took my advice. He said there are things they don't teach you in school. So many things they don't teach you in school.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people Rise Up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. Education, but he never took my advice.
Hey, we are back with my special guest, Robert David Hall, and going into the 14th season, hard to believe, of CSI Crime Scene Investigation. Robert, what cool people you work with. Elizabeth Shue, Lawrence Fishburne, Ted Danson.
You know, I sometimes pinch myself. When I started, William Peterson played Grissom, and Mark Helgenberger was Catherine.
Yeah.
And they stayed, you know, Billy for 9 years and Mark for 11. But Lawrence came on for 3 years, and I told you I worked with him when I was a young man. And he's just a wonderfully intense guy. And then Ted Danson is now the star of our show, and I have never worked with a nicer, easier to get along with guy than Ted Danson.
Yeah, is he fun? Nice guy?
He's fun.
Yeah.
He's prepared, you know, which you would expect from a professional. But he just makes it easy. You know, I almost feel guilty because it's so much fun working with Ted. And then Elizabeth came along, and she's an Oscar-nominated actress and just a beautiful woman. But her main thing in life, she has three daughters, and occasionally we'll bring them over to the studio, and she's just. She's a soccer mom, you know, and it's so great seeing the human side of these famous people you work with.
Yeah, would never put Elizabeth Shue and soccer mom side by side.
I know,
but that's awesome.
that's the reality of it, and probably my two best friends on the show are Georgia Fox and Eric Zamanda. Because I've worked with them, you know, for 13 years. But it's your family, you know. It's like people you go to work with down at the UPS store or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been to the UPS store, and I've never seen anyone remotely like Ted Danson or Lawrence Fishburne, but bless them, they're wonderful people. In fact, one of the nicest things anyone ever said to me was, I went through one of those girl moments of, I want to do something with my hair, dyed it red, and someone said, you look just like Marg on CSI. Oh. I was like, really? Thank you.
No, I'll tell you, as just a lump of coal myself, it really helps to have professional people, you know, mess with your hair and do your makeup and then professional costumers to dress you. It's if I didn't have my wife to yell at me before I left the house, you know, I'm sure I would look like a homeless guy.
So much fun. What now? Have you got? I know that the CSI show takes up a lot of your time. Have you got anything else on the go though? Because I know you do a lot of voiceovers and
I do voiceovers. I still do voices on animated cartoons. I love
doing
that.
Who do we know? Who do we know on the cartoons?
I do less of that than I used to, but I'm currently on something called Ben 10 and a cartoon called Avatar. And I did G.I. Joe and a show called The Littles for many years on ABC. And it's, you know, animation is so much fun. Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny, was one of my heroes growing up, and I got to meet Mel and work with him when before he passed. And that's something I do. I do some speaking, public speaking. And my music is my big passion. I'm a songwriter, and I'm going to go back down to Austin, Texas on our hiatus, and I'd like to record 10 or 12 more new songs for another CD.
Now, the current CD, what is it called, the current CD?
The one that's out now is called Things They Don't Teach You in School.
Right, and that's your main, that's the song that we've been hearing.
Yeah, that you've been playing.
Yeah.
It's available on iTunes. It's available at robertdavidhallmusic.com. And it's done fairly well. Just finishing something is one of the great joys in life. And, I'm in a musical family. My wife, Judy, is a cellist and a very good one. She's played since she was 8 years old. And so she's the excellent musician in the family, and I'm sort of the roadhouse country boy.
I told you that I'm hoping that you do get back to Toronto. That would be amazing. Because
I love Toronto. I've had such good times there.
Yeah, we have the Big Boots and Hearts Festival out here. You and the band are absolutely, you've got to do that. If Modern West are here, you've got to be there with them too. I know they're coming back, so I'd love for you guys to maybe be part of that. That would be amazing, because have a lot of Canadian fans.
Well, thank you. I'm really fond from the east to the west. What a wonderful country. I have some friends from Kelowna, B.C., and I played music in Montreal as a young man during one of the coldest winters they ever had, and I played in Toronto too. So I'd love to come back.
That would be wonderful. And I know that you have a son, Andrew. And is he following in Dad's footsteps? Music,
well,
acting.
It's funny, he's five times more handsome than I'll ever be, and he had no desire to be an actor. He works behind the scenes. He's a production assistant on some television shows, and he worked on our show for a while, but it's hard to work with the old man sometimes, and he's making his own way, and one of the loves of my life, obviously.
Oh, you know what, on that note, Robert David Hall, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I wish we had more time. There is way more to you than barely an hour can dig into, and hopefully maybe you'll be able to get off that busy schedule and come back on and chat with everyone who loves you, loves to watch you.
It means a lot to me, and I want to thank you, because I have to tell you, sometimes an hour can feel like 10 hours. This felt like 5 minutes, so that's great.
Thank you so much. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you again.
My best to you and all your listeners.
Thank you, Robert. Best to you and your family.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, that, wow, everyone, I'm totally stoked for the rest of the day. I loved speaking with Robert. What a great man. What a fun fellow, and what a great story. Make sure you go to his website, robertdavidhallmusic.com, and get one of the most fun and enjoyable CDs that I've ever heard. Tune in every Wednesday at 10, 9 Central for CSI Crime Scene Investigations, Robert David Hall. Great show. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to Get Focused. This month, we're focusing on mental health awareness, and I hope you tune in next week. We're going to be talking with author of Hopping Roller Coasters, Rachel Pappas. She tells her story of being diagnosed with bipolar disorder and her daughter, who also suffered from mental illness. It's their story and their journey out of darkness, so you won't want to miss next Wednesday on Get Focused. For all of you out there, please enjoy what you have, the blessings we've all been given, and treasure every moment you have with each other. And for Pete's sakes, try to make a difference. I hope to see you next week. Thank you to my special guest, Robert David Hall. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power, filled with humor and insight, will have you screaming yes to your life. Tune in next week as Kate and her guests share their secrets, talk about what almost brought them down, and offer inspiring techniques we all need in order to make our lives epic. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com and spread the juiciness of hope.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.